This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
All over the world, tragedy casts a dark shadow. Tragedies occur in many different ways and causes so much anguish, disappointment, and heartache. War has ravaged mankind down through the annals of history. Disease, famine, and pestilence have also taken their toll. Also, our personal lives can be affected by the tragedy of finances, health, accidents, divorce, or abandonment. Life can seem so unfair and distressing at times. Why is this? Is God playing some kind of macabre game? Testing our breaking points? Hoping we fail so we can be consigned to an eternity of torment? Why does God allow tragedy? Is He even involved? Why do we suspect God is out to get us? Stay with us as we address these questions on today's edition of The Armor of God.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to the Armor of God telecast. We're really delighted to have you with us today. Thank you so much for sharing some of your day with us. We challenge you on the Armor of God program to study the Scripture, to find its relevance to your life, this moment, this day, this week, this coming month, and for that matter, the rest of your life. The Bible is God's Word without question. It tells us how to live life. It offers us encouragement. And yet sometimes the reality of what is in here is very sobering. Let me give you a word today that we want to talk about. This is the Word. You're familiar with it. You've lived through it. You've talked about it. You try to understand it. You grapple with it. You're uncertain about it. It causes you to wonder, to worry. Some people lose faith. This is the Word. Tragedy. Tragedy. When I say tragedy, I just put that word out there before you. A lot of us think of different things. Some of us think about losing a child. Some of us think about an accident. Some of us think about a child being born not normal, not healthy, maybe dying right away. Some of us think about tsunamis. Some of us think about forest fires. Some of us think about unexpected death. Some of us think about financial loss. Just goes on and on and on and on, doesn't it? Generally speaking, though, in our society, especially with the media's emphasis on the exciting story, that which captures the world's attention, we focus on things of dramatic proportion. We've had a lot of those in recent history. There's been an untold number of people lose their lives, into the thousands and thousands of people. But that was way over there, where earthquakes are still occurring, where tragedy is still happening, where people are still dying of disease. I think disease is a tragedy. How do we make sense of all this? And what's God's role in tragedy? How do we understand tragedy? What about the woman down in South Texas who wandered out, an elderly lady? She was not a woman who was intent upon breaking any of God's commandments, just an elderly lady, and she happened to fall, was unable to get up, and I hope this is not too grisly for you, but she lost her life basically because she was swarmed by fire ants and the little bites, the thousands of little bites on her flesh injected poison into her skin. She just laid there and she died. What did she do to deserve that death? Well, what about the individual, the husband and wife, who are expecting their very first child? And they prayed about it. They're godly people. They believe in the commandments. They're faithful. They're doing the very best they can. They're believers, and the child is born, lives just a few hours, and unexpectedly, maybe even in the birth canal, that the cord gets wrapped around the child's neck, and the child is born dead, stillborn, the tragedy attached to that. How do we explain that? All of us in the ministry, those of us who minister to people, we oftentimes find ourselves immersed in suffering, agony, guilt, wonderment, curiosity about, well, where is God? I guess a lot of this depends upon our background in theology, doesn't it? What we understand about this book. What does it tell us about how God intervenes in the lives of those who are His people and those who are not? The Bible talks about the evil, the unjust. It talks about the righteous. It talks about the believers. Do we all get treated the same? Is there no reason then to be a righteous person? Does it not make any difference whatsoever? Today I'd like to explore that topic with you. And I'm reminded of any number of endless tragedies that we could recite today, but one comes to mind. And how about this individual who, with the right heart and right intent, wanted to donate, I believe it was a kidney, to another person who needed it. And in the course of all of that, they donated their kidney, but in doing so, they had a blood transfusion, and unexpectedly, they came out of that blood transfusion, and they ended up with AIDS. Now, here was an absolute act of unbelievable sacrifice. They gave of their own body to another person selflessly, and then the reward for that would apparently be that they got AIDS. Oh, where is God in that? Why did God let that happen? Why? Those are the questions that we immerse ourselves in anytime we have the unexplainable conflict, especially among people who are doing their best, they think, it may be truly, to obey God. I want to invite you to request the literature today. We have actually a two-tape series. We want to invite you to request. It's a two-tape series, two titles for you. One is Thinking Through Tragedy, and the other is a follow-up to it, reciting or falling on the heels of some of the very same examples, A Theology of Tragedy. So Thinking Through Tragedy and Theology of Tragedy, and then also request the booklet, When Tragedy Strikes. You can request these items by noting the number on your screen, but let me give it to you if you're listening. 1-888, that's the toll-free number, 578-8791. Again, 888-578-8791. Or be sure to check in on our website where we have a number of tools available to those of you who like that type of thing. We have a website where you can click in and actually catch the television program. So if you don't get to hear all of it today, go check it on the website, click on the link, and there we'll have the Armor of God program today on understanding tragedy. But also encourage you to look at some other items there. We have articles to study, as well as a site devoted to our young people, where you can get involved in a program we call Infuse, as well as our Sky program. So please avail yourself of those two opportunities to request the tapes as well as the booklets. Now, let's come back and revisit this subject as we begin to work our way through tragedy. And all of us are familiar with it, and it takes various forms. It comes in various events. But let's begin with this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, right? So why are we anxious over it? We're not to be anxious. And the point of that scripture is that there is evil that happens every single day. However, do not let me pull you away from this truth, because there's too much attention on evil. This morning I was blessed to get up. I felt well. I had a little bite of breakfast. My hotel was not on fire. I wasn't running because bombs were dropping. I wasn't looking for a foxhole. Basically, as far as I know, I'm in pretty good health. There's room for improvement, I realize, but things are pretty good. I was able to come all the way up from Texas here to Central Ohio to be with the folks up here and do the program, and I didn't have an accident. Was able to see, look at nature, pretty good things. I fly many, many times. I've never been in an accident in an airplane, and I hope I never am. I hope nobody ever is. There hasn't been, to my knowledge, a recent airplane crash in probably, a year and a half, 2 years or so? I think that's pretty good, don't you? And yet, interestingly, if there's one airline crash, all of a sudden people get worried. I know one gentleman I used to spend a lot of time with who was a pilot. He had this little bit of, I guess it was a superstition. He said, if there's one, it's going to be followed by two others because they come in sets of three. Tragedy comes in sets of three. And I've always remembered that, so when something bad has happened in my life, I thought, wonder what's going to happen next. Isn't it amazing how we human beings are influenced by each other? But really, we need to be influenced by God, don't we? Tragedy is all around us. How about mental dementia and dealing with Alzheimer's? I call that a tragedy. You just don't know why it happened. Is this old physical body of ours outliving the mental ability just because of our drugs and the care that we receive? I mean, what's at work there? Well, I don't have all the answers to that, but I do have some answers about suffering from Scripture. Today I want to talk to you about tragedy, help you understand it, and try to arrest the theology that you may have on this subject, because I found that so many people bring God into tragedy when in fact He is not there at all. I wish I had all the answers. Whenever I attend a funeral, whether or not I'm officiating, but just sitting in the audience and listening to what's going on, I think, well, you know, why did this happen? How do I explain this? And sometimes I can't explain it because I don't know the way in which God works in everyone's life. But I do know this, and just put it to the test. Why is it that we have to bring God into tragedy in the first place? Why do we do that? Oh, why did God allow that to happen to me? Oh, I know I was drinking too much on the way home, slightly inebriated, and all of a sudden I veered off to the left, went into the ditch. Why did God do that? Why didn't God send an angel down and stop me? You know, one of the things that God does not do, God does not prevent suffering because of our stupidity. People do stupid things. I've even heard of people jumping out of airplanes, hoping to be rescued by somebody else, just wildlessly jumping, you know, just jumping out of an airplane, and somebody else is going to skydive after them and apparently catch them. Well, I'm not going to do that, I don't think. Boy, people do stupid things, don't they? I believe that they do. God doesn't rescue us from our stupidity. Do you do things then that you ought not to do? How about jumping off a three-story building, thinking someone other that you're just not going to be hurt? That's stupid. God has nothing to do with that. You know, you need to realize, too, if you're older and you're suffering with sicknesses and diseases and all you did when you were a youngster is eat trash food. I remember one of my goals as a youngster, I'm going to make a little bit of a confession here, is I wanted to prove just how many Cokes I could drink. And so I remember one evening during a long period of time, oh, I did it. I sat back. I drank 18 Cokes. How about that? Well, that was really something. I wonder why I have teeth problems or did have them. No, if you do stupid stuff like that, along with all the other things that we're involved in, well, I'm not sure God has anything to do with dental problems or health problems of our own cause. So my request to you as we begin is to consider this. Is it really appropriate for us to bring or drag God into suffering in the first place? I want you to listen now over here in Psalm chapter 90. There are several verses here that bear our study and consideration. Please listen along with me. It says here, "For all of our days are passed away in your wrath." And this is the psalmist's determination about all this tragedy. What happens to the wicked? What happens to the good? And so he assesses this because he looked at, you know, God's ability to bring about wrath. He says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. So if you get to live longer than 70, good for you. Take care of yourself. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow." Labor and sorrow. "For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So who knows the power of your anger? Even according to your fear, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." We are to apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, one of the things which people talk about as being a tragedy is financial disaster. You know, you get talked into something, and all of a sudden you make an investment. Maybe you take all of your life savings and you put it into an investment with somebody who talked you into it. They foolishly run off with your money, or they invest it improperly. They lose your money, and you say, "Well, God, how did you let that happen?" Well, God didn't place that phone call, and God didn't go to the bank and get the money out of there and transfer it to the financial advisor. So why bring God into it? It's almost as if we think this, that if we are good enough people, especially if we're baptized, well, we're immune. It's almost like being inoculated against disaster or tragedy or trauma or bad things. There's no evidence for that in Scripture. We need to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, about verse 16 says this, "Let your work appear unto your servants." And that's really the heart and core of what I want to talk to you about today, is that when we are involved in suffering, let's consider the work that God is doing in our lives. A primary point, remember this. Now listen to it, it's this. Don't bring God into suffering by asking why. Respond to suffering the way God wants you to. I personally, looking through the scripture, do not see God in tsunamis, forest fires, homes burning up, accidents, anything like that. I'll tell you where I do see God. I see God in forgiveness, mercy, compassion, and understanding. So let's blame God for all the bad things. Interesting, so many people never think about blaming God for the good things. How many of us got up this morning and thanked God for all the good? I hope you did, but I hear conversation like this. Boy, there's so much evil in the world. I'd be the first one to say there is. From the very beginning, though, people have been killing each other. People have been lying to each other. People have been unfaithful to their mates. So maybe the question, if you want to start out in a different direction with a different theology, is this. Isn't it amazing how much good there is in the world today? Now, some people just don't like that. We want to focus on bad. We bring God into tragedy, into the evil that occurs here today. Why not, you know, if you got a little child, two or three children, why not look at that? What a wonderful blessing. Thank God for that. Thank God for the fact that you got up today. The earth itself is still rotating the way that it always does, the moon and so forth, the orbits. Everything goes on as it should, and life is pretty good. No, we like to bring God into things that we cannot explain. Now, let me give you a couple of thoughts as we work our way through the program here today, and do you avail yourself of the chance to order those items that we had mentioned earlier. Do you know that accidents just happen, and God doesn't cause them? They just happen. You do something foolish. You do something unexpected. I want you to notice over here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have to spend some time there with this man of great wisdom who had lots of things happen in his life, and he came to some conclusions that we must notice because there is an explanation given here for us. Let's notice something in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you are a person who studies the Bible, if you really want to know what God says about this, I want you to remember this. Maybe get your Bible out at this moment. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 and 12. Underline it. It's not wrong to mark your Bible. It's not wrong to color it. It's not wrong. The pages are not holy. The words are what's special. So go to verse 11 and 12. Underline it. Mark it. Study it. Consider it. Remember it. It says here, Solomon, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance, what? Happens to them all. Time and chance happens to them all. I don't know that I've ever gotten on an airplane without saying a little prayer. The prayer is basically, I guess, a little selfish. Lord, don't let this plane fall down today. I presume other people do the same. And if something does go wrong, most everybody on that plane, even atheists, are all of a sudden going to reach out to God, cry out to God to make a difference. No, when we deal in the world with mechanical things, with oil and special lubricants and so forth and so on, things lock up, things seize, there's terrorism, there's disasters that are caused by man's evil nature. No, God is not in accidents. He's not trying to teach me a lesson. He doesn't make my child sick or allow my child to get sick that I may learn a lesson. I remember reading a story one time about someone who had a child that was sick, and someone was trying to offer them some comfort, and the logic went like this. Well, this has happened so that you could learn a lesson. Oh, let's see. So what God's going to do to teach me a lesson is He's going to punish my children. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God just work with me without punishing my children. Why is it we have to try to make rhyme and reason out of things that are not biblically structured whatsoever? Why was we immerse God in tragedy? I come back to that point to you once again. It says here, time and chance will happen to all men. Verse 12, for man also knows not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. So you see the analogy here. A fish that is swimming along in the sea or the lake, wherever it might be, has no idea that somebody's about to drag a net through there and capture them and bring them out of the water, and they might die. It says that the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. And that's That's really what happens, I think, with most tragedy. It comes suddenly. The news of a cancer or some other disease that we know is life-threatening, leukemia, whatever it might be, that sudden news. And all of us, I think it's okay to go talk to God about it, but there's more to be determined not by asking why, but how we're going to respond to what happens to us. I want you to notice something here in Luke chapter 13. I would be remiss if I didn't turn over here, because there's a school of thought among Church of God people, that's my brothers and sisters, which seems to say this. Well, even with our groups, that some groups are more righteous than other groups, and I've always been baffled by that, because you're either part of the body of Christ or you're not. I don't care what organizational title you might carry, you are either part of the body of Jesus Christ or you're not. Now, we have annual festivals. I'm going to bring this up, and if it steps on some toes, then so be it, because it's improper, incorrect, ludicrous theology. You know, we assemble at various places around the country in the fall time to keep the wonderful and glorious Festival of Tabernacles, and is often the case. In that season of the year, guess what's out in the Gulf? Guess what's off the Atlantic seacoast? Hurricanes. Tragedies are in the making out there. They come sweeping ashore, and guess what happened? Homes are washed away. People are killed. Unbelievable destruction. So this is the school of thought that emerges among some. Now, I just want to sort of hit this right in the head because it's ridiculous. It's playing preferential treatment in God's sight. I'm more righteous than they are. Well, wait a minute. Let's get away from that. I know recently our group, we have a meeting down in the Gulf Shores area. And we were going to be down in Panhandle of Florida. And a hurricane came rolling through there, and we weren't able to have our festival site, so we moved it inland. You know what came of that meeting, moving it inland? Good things happened. More people were able to attend. We were able to open up our doors to others of similar belief. But this is what some said in the wake of that tragedy, trying to bring God into it, and this is the logic. Well, God hit our site. Excuse me. Didn't hit their site, hit our site. And I'm sitting here thinking about that. And let me get this straight. So the way that God does this is he destroys a certain number of God's people, even though some of the people who are attending that feast, their homes were wiped away and destroyed. That's okay. And all the unrighteous believers, they have to move out. Is that what suffering is all about? Hey, listen, that is an act of nature. An act of God is completely different. When you see the scripture, that's what we find here. There's one event here, we'll read this quickly to you. It's over here in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 13. Listen to this now, this account. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, we need to take a real good look at that. Let's not bring God into our suffering. Let's bring God into the good things. Let's ask God to help us in times of need. All of us, every one of you who are listening today, I know this is not going to comfort you, and I so hope you can avoid it somehow, but there's going to be some kind of tragedy in the weeks and months and years ahead. I do not know what it will be, but we cannot get out of life without some measure of suffering, some degree of tragedy and pain in our lives. You know, one of the things we learn in life is that we have to live with pain. But you know, as we live with pain, let's not make God a part of that pain. Let's not misrepresent God and Jesus Christ. Let's look at them properly and correctly and recognize that our goal is to respond to the things that happen to us in a very positive way. You know, just because people of faith lose their lives doesn't mean that faith has to be killed. Tragedy when that happens. That is a true tragedy when people lose their faith. So I hope that you can begin to look at the Scripture, read through the Bible, look at all the examples, look at tragedy from a little bit different perspective. Don't look at what God is doing to punish people, but what God is doing to deliver them. And as believers, let's turn to God for understanding, for mercy, for compassion. You know, that's God's language. That's God's talk. We ought to be people of love. So let's make common sense out of the tragedies that come our way. Well, come and visit us next week for another edition, another program of the Armor of God. It's nice to be with you today.
Why? That's what Charles was asking us today, my friends. Why do we always feel the sense or the duty to include God in our tragedies? Why do we always question the fact of whether or not God had a role in a tragedy? Why do we suspect that perhaps God hits on certain individuals while letting others get away with it? It's so inappropriate when you think about it, and yet we as human beings, because we're anxious about our life, we worry over the dangers that we're faced with, so often because of our insecurities, look at our lives and blame God for perhaps certain things that happen to us, when indeed, if the truth were known, oftentimes we ourselves are at the root causes of so much trouble, doubt, pain, and anguish. Troubles with finances, troubles in our marriage, troubles with our children, troubles with addiction, problems with relationships, problems on the job. So often, my friends, are due to our own inabilities to manage our own appetites and our own lusts in dealing with life itself. It's so inappropriate so often to include God in tragedy when in fact we live lives of time and chance. Fact is that it would do us well and much better if we, when we're faced with tragedy and tragedy comes our way, that we would look to God for the help, the insight, the wisdom of being able to handle the situation, in being able to get through the problems and challenges of our lives that we're faced with. And that's why you need to really get the literature that we're offering today. Let us help you to better understand how to acquire God's help in the face of tragedy, because that's how we really ought to be thinking. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get the dual tape set, Thinking Through Tragedy and the Theology of Tragedy, along with the booklet, don't forget, When Tragedy Strikes. All of this is free. So all you've got to do is let the operator know which format also you'd prefer the audio offers on, CD or cassette. 888-578-8791. Friends, this is Bill Watson telling all of you, for the meantime, to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.